chapter 1 is where we're going to be at today. We'll actually be James chapter 1 for a couple Sundays here, as we're going to start looking kind of section by section at the book of James. All right. Has everybody got an outline? Everybody got an outline? All right. Way to go, kids. Thank y'all for your help. There we go. You want a notebook? You can have one of those too. All right, while they're getting settled down, let's go ahead and read our memory verse for today. Remember, we are rehashing or re-remembering, if you want to put it that way, our memory verses from earlier in the year. And so we'll go ahead and start with this one. All right, is everybody ready? I can tell y'all are not ready this morning. Is everybody ready? All right, here we go. John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11, 25 through 26. Very good. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. So this morning, we're going to do something. We're going to start something that we've never done before here. And that is walk through one entire book of the Bible. In this case, one entire letter, James's letter. All right, kids. So, kids, if you have your outline, you'll notice on one side of the outline, there are a bunch of blanks. All right. Now, as I teach this lesson today, kids and adults, I'm going to help you fill in those blanks. Kids, listen to me very carefully. If you get all of the blanks filled in, I have either Sour Patch Kids or gummy worms that you can have after church. But I need to see your sheet with all the blanks filled in, okay? Does that sound good? Do the adults want gummy worms and Sour Patch Kids too? Well, we might can work something out, okay? Y'all can have all the Sour Patch Kids, just not the gummy worms. All right, let's begin this morning. James chapter 1. I have often said, and you have heard me say this numerous times, especially in the last couple weeks, that whenever you read the Bible, you should always ask questions, right? In fact, that goes for anything in life. Whenever you read something, whether it's a magazine article, a Facebook post, especially a Facebook post, right, or something on the internet, Wikipedia, whatever, you should always ask questions. Questions are how we learn. And it gives us insight into things that we don't otherwise see by just reading it. So we got to ask questions. So since we're going to be in the book of James for several weeks in the future, I thought that's what we would start out with today. Now, so it doesn't matter. I'm a very math-minded person, so call me like a little bit of a nerd. But I created a math equation to help me ask questions of the Bible. Fear not, if you're an ELA, that's for those of you who don't know, that's English Language Arts, right? You can do the same thing in a more narrative form as well. But that's you, me, I made a math equation, right? Because that's cool, right? Anyway, so today we're going to practice asking questions of the Bible, all right? So we're going to read James 1:1, and then we're going to ask two important questions, all right? A lot more we could ask. We're only going to ask two this morning. All right, so let's read James 1:1 together. Is everybody ready? All right, here we go. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. All right, two questions we need to ask to begin with. The first one is, kids, you ready? Number one is, who is James? Who is James? Right? Who is James? Because in the Bible, if you've read the New Testament, if you haven't read the New Testament, when you do, here's what you'll notice. There are about seven people named James. So which one is it? Right? So that's what we got to discuss first. Scholars, New Testament writers from the earliest times of Christianity, all agree that the James that we're talking about here this morning is James, the brother of Jesus. So the first thing we need to know about James is that he is the brother of Jesus. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. What do you think life with Jesus would be like? On the first blush, we think, oh man, that would be awesome. Because we know Jesus did a lot of other things that aren't written in the Bible. So at first glance, we're like, this is amazing. We would see miracles after miracles. You're right. But what would it be like to be Jesus's younger brother? I've mentioned this before. In fact, some of you thought this was comedic back a couple months ago when I equated Donald Trump to not being Jesus's little brother. But here today, we actually have Jesus's little brother. And one of my favorite comedy clips of all time is by a guy, I've mentioned him before, his name's Michael Jr. And he does about a 2 to 3 minute bit on James. It's hilarious. Because here's why. We've never thought about this. I never thought about this until I heard his comedy piece on James, the little brother of Jesus. And we know, so based off of the way the Bible reads, so there's Jesus, and then after Jesus, there's James and a couple other brothers and potentially even a sister or two, all right, that Mary and Joseph have. But we're pretty sure that James is the oldest of that second group because his name is always mentioned first in the order. So put your mind in James's shoes, right? Mom goes into the house and it's destroyed. Who did it? It wasn't Jesus, right? It was James. There's two opposing stories. Jesus says, James did this. No, I ain't do that. He did it. Well, Jesus didn't do it. I mean, can you imagine being James? He couldn't get away with anything. It was always his fault until they had other kids, and then maybe he could pass it down to one of the babies. But can you imagine being James? Can you imagine being James when they got a little bit older and people began to realize there was a little something different about Jesus? One of the most hilarious parts of the Michael Jr. Bit on James is he talks about when Jesus turns water into wine, right? And he says, you know, there was another party that Jesus wasn't at. And everybody looks at James and is like, you going to turn the water into wine this time? You can't do that too? And James has to just sit there and go, nah, right? Because as Michael Jr. says, James was just James. He wasn't James Christ. He was just James. But can you imagine living with Jesus? It had to have been great, and from James's perspective, as we'll see in a minute, very disheartening at the same time, because you were always reminded of how ungood you really were, and how uncool you really were, and how bad you really were. Because God's Son is living right there with you, right? Now, some of y'all, raise your hand if you were not the oldest in your family. Right? So see, all of you probably understand what that's like, right? You can put your hands down. Because the oldest was all the oldest. Oh, right? And then everybody else is like, oh, right? That was James. That feeling you had as a kid, when you couldn't get away with anything, that's what James had every day. And so John chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, listen to what, you can read it behind me on the screen. Listen to what John says about this one scenario later in Jesus' ministry. So his brothers, that's James and a couple others, said to Jesus, leave here and go to Judah, that your disciples also may read the sarcasm in the words, that your disciples, that ain't us, your folk also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then John adds, for not even his own brothers believed in him. So kids, here's the second thing you need to know about James. Not only was he the brother of Jesus, but he was an unbeliever. You may need to get an adult to help you figure out how to spell that one. Unbeliever. Unbeliever, right? That means he didn't follow Jesus. He didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. Imagine, again, put yourself into James's shoes. You've had all of this built over the years, and then your dad, most scholars believe Joseph died relatively early. He's nowhere mentioned in Jesus's ministry. So Jesus then would assume the head of household because he's the oldest son. And then, can you imagine that family talk when Jesus comes around to Mary and James and the other brothers or sisters maybe, and Jesus says, hey guys, I'm leaving to go save the world. Now, for those of you who aren't the oldest in your family,
Imagine the scenario when you were younger and your older sibling says, hey guys, I need to talk to y'all at dinner tonight. And you're thinking, what is this going to be about? And their words are, hey, I'm the Messiah of the world. You know that guy we read about in temple school? That's me. I'm going to go save the world now. No, you ain't. I saw you last week. You know, that's your immediate response. So, but not only that, then that means when Jesus goes off for his 3-year, you know, tour of Galilee and Judea and all that, who has the responsibility to run the house and make all the money for the house and make ends meet? James. So Jesus, in James's mind, Jesus just dumps all this responsibility on him that he didn't want. And so now, Jesus is supposedly doing all these great works, and in the back of James's mind, he's like, yeah, dude, but I'm the one who's holding the fort down here at the house while you out having fun. And so him and his brothers, they don't even believe in him. So I want you to catch that. Jesus' own brothers and family don't even believe in him. But it gets worse. If it can get worse, it gets worse. Because Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 21, reads this. And I just want to read this one little phrase, okay, in this story. They, that's his family, went out to seize him. Not talk to him, but take him by force. For they, that's everybody in his family, were saying, look at the words, he is out of his mind. So capture this. The guy's letter who we're about to read thought Jesus was a delusional fake. To use the words of our president, fake news. That was Jesus to James. All right. So he was Jesus' brother. He was an unbeliever. But now we know he writes a letter that we're going to read. And I can go ahead and tell you that in the letter, James doesn't bash his brother and call him a delusional fake. So there's something that happens in James's life between Mark 3, John 7, and the letter that we're going to spend the next few weeks reading and studying. Something happens. Paul tells us what happens in 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that Jesus has died, he's been buried in the tomb, and he's rose again on Easter Sunday. And James says, paraphrasing here, he shows up, he reveals himself to Peter, to the apostles, and to James. And it is in that moment when James, whose older brother said he was going to live, said he was going to die, said he was going to rise again, and then actually does all of it. And when James sees him, it is at that moment that James, kids, next blank, here we go. James becomes a follower of Jesus. He becomes a follower of Jesus. He decides to follow Jesus. James decides to follow Jesus. So in that moment where James meets Jesus resurrected out of the grave after having died, it is in that transformational moment that James moves from believing or thinking his brother is a delusional fake to literally giving his life over to the Lord. Because after that, not only does James, the brother of Jesus, not only at one time was he not a follower, not only does he decide to be a follower, but next, James is a leader. Kids, next, he is a leader, right? He's a leader. Because what we see, if we read the book of Acts and we look at what Luke says about the movement, the first movements of Christianity, so to speak, we see that James is one of the prominent figures in the early church in Jerusalem. He's actually the one, when there's this great crisis in Acts chapter 15, and the church is about to move and transition from just a Jewish-centered movement to a global-centered movement of all people, it is James who speaks the defining word to the group. And it is James's words that literally are, listen to, I don't think I can stress the gravity of this enough. It is James's final words recorded in Acts chapter 15. It's the reason we're here today. Because if in that moment, the leaders of Jesus' movement would have said, no, the Gentiles, nah, Jesus didn't really come for them. Folk, we wouldn't be here today because it would have stayed centered in Jerusalem. But because of James's words to that group and their decision as a group, we're here today because Paul then takes the gospel to the nations, and so do other people. And so James becomes a leader. And lastly, he writes a letter, which is what we're going to read for the next few weeks. Usually I save all of the application for the end, but I want to stop right here because I think it's so valuable and so critical that we understand this. Because follow with me, James was the brother of Jesus. He started out as an unbeliever who literally thought Jesus was a fake, delusional person. He was probably mad and angry that he got left holding the bag, so to speak, and Jesus just said, I don't care for y'all anymore, right? But then Jesus showed himself to be the resurrected Christ that he said he was, and so James becomes a follower of Jesus. Then he becomes a leader, and then he writes a letter. Now, here's the point I want, a point of application that I want you to see today. And kids, listen to me very carefully. If James can have transformation like that in his life, then anyone can. Right? If James can have that type of transformation, and James, now look, If we're putting the Bible together, follow with me for a minute. If we're putting the Bible together, and before all the events, right? Let's say before all, and we're putting the Bible together, and you were to come to, I were to come to you and say, hey, I've got this great letter from this guy who used to hate Jesus. And you're like, well, we ain't putting him in there. I'm like, what? To me, the fact that James's letter makes it into, and James's whole story makes it into the Bible, to me, is one of the most compelling reasons to believe in Jesus. Because listen to me, James knew Jesus better than anybody else outside of Mary and Joseph. He had lived with Jesus the longest because he was the next oldest. He knew Jesus better than anybody. And for him to move from, I hate you, I don't like you, you're delusional, you're fake, to now I'm going to follow you, I'm going to lead your movement, I'm going to be a leader in your movement, I'm going to write a letter to other believers, oh, and let me throw this in, and I'm going to die for you, which is exactly what happens. James is martyred, he's killed because he believes in Jesus. That is one of the most compelling stories in the New Testament, because you have his own brother who goes through this entire transformation. And here's what I want you to understand today, folks, ladies and gentlemen, is that if that can happen in James's life, that can happen in anyone's life, right? See, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we give up on people, right? And because we're very temporal and we're very time-oriented, and so if God doesn't work in our specified window of time, then God's not going to work at all, right? And so a lot of times we write, hey, look, we even write our own selves off. Because God, if you hadn't worked by X, Y, and Z, then you're not going to work at all. I basically had a student tell me one time, I won't go into all the details, but at the end of the conversation, these were his words. I've prayed and God hadn't taken this desire away, so I guess he wants me to have it. And I was like, not sure that's right. Because in his mind, God had a time limit on when he was supposed to act and work and move. And since God didn't meet his deadline, then that must be God's okay with it, right? And I can tell you God was not okay with it, right? I know he wasn't. But because he was very temporally oriented, he said, God, you got to work in this window, in this box, and if you don't, then you're just not. And that's the way we look in our own lives and in the lives of other people. But what I want to encourage you today is realize that if James can go through this massive gospel transformation in his life, then that can happen in anyone's life. Right? See, a lot of us, we've written people off our lists. I don't know what list you have. It may be a mental list. It may be a real list. But we've written people off. We haven't written them off completely. Like, we still have contact with them and all that. But we've just come to the realization that God's not going to do anything in their life. And so we've kind of written them off. Like, we've stopped praying for them. We've stopped encouraging them. We've stopped speaking to them about the Lord because we've assumed that God's not going to do anything in their life. But I want to listen to me here today. If Jesus can change his own brother's life to this degree, he can change anyone's life who's in your circle of influence, right? I don't know when that will be. I don't know what that will look like. But I'm just telling you, Jesus is powerful enough to change anyone's life. So that's the first question. Who is James. Here's the second question. What did James say? What did James say? Now, we're going to talk about this in depth. Today, I just want to give you the broad overview of the entire book. I'm going to kind of give you one at the end here. I'm going to give you one pithy little statement that I think encapsulates the entire book of James in one statement. But in order to answer this question, we need to read a question from James himself, and that comes in chapter 3, verse 13. Here it is. It's just the opening question of the verse. Here it is. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? If you want to know what James is all about, here it is. Let's break that down for just a minute, okay? We're going to go backwards. Let's start at the end. Among you, what does that mean? He means the community of faith. So whatever James is going to say to us over the next few weeks, it is going to be in the context of the community of faith, the church, okay? In the community of faith. All right, let's go backwards. What does understanding mean? Understanding means the ability to evaluate. The ability to evaluate. And wise, listen to me, wise means to comprehend toward wisdom. So let's put this together. Within the community of faith, we need to be able to evaluate and comprehend toward wisdom. So let me give you one real quick pithy statement that I think will encapsulate the entire book of James in one statement. Here we go. Wisdom applied in the community of faith. You want to know what James is going to talk about? It's about how you can be wise living out your Christian life within the context of the church. So guess what he's going to talk about? Next week, we're going to hit it right off the bat and talk about things when things don't go our way. How are we supposed to respond to that? We're going to, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about trials and suffering, something we hate to talk about because God is love and God is joy and, oh, everything's going to be great. And James is going to talk about when things aren't great. He's going to talk about money. He's going to talk about relationships. He's going to talk about socioeconomic relationships. He's going to talk about all these prayer and your language and your speech. And he's going to talk about all these very practical things that every one of us deals with, if not on a daily, at least a weekly basis. And he's going to come back to them over and over and over. Why? Because he wants all of us to understand how to evaluate a situation, to comprehend what's going on, and make a wise decision on the other end. That's James's whole goal, is for you and me to walk out when we get done with this study and down the road one day to be able to look at a situation, bring forward all that we know and all that we've learned, and apply it to the current situation so we don't make the same dumb decision we made last time, so that this time we can make a wise, informed decision. So at the end of the day, James's goal is for you to be wise on the other end, right? And we're going to talk about a lot of different issues. Some of them are going to be easier for some people, and some of them are going to be hard for us. Like, I'm going to tell you, the one on trial and suffering, that's not going to be fun. But listen, we all go through it, don't we? So why not skirt the issue? Let's hit it head on. That's exactly what James is going to do. So, all right. So, wisdom applied in the community of faith. Wisdom applied in the community of faith. So here, I got two challenges for you today. Kids, these are on the back. You can do these when you get home, okay? On the back of your sheet. I got two questions that I want to ask you today based off. These are your challenges for the week based off of who James is and what James says. Here's the first one. Here's the first one. Where do you need, or where do I need, God's help being wise? Where do you need God's help? Where do we need God's help being wise? Now, that may take you a while. Kids, don't feel like you got to answer it right now, right? Adults, don't feel like you got to answer it now. Go home and pray about it. Where do you need, I don't know about you, but I need wisdom every day, right? Right? Because I still make some, hard to imagine that I make bad decisions, I know, but I do. Just ask Holly, right? So, that's number one. Here's your second question. Who do you know who needs Jesus in their life? Who do you know who needs Jesus in their life? Adults, I'll take that one step further for you. Who have you written off your list that you need to write back in? Who have you written off your list that you need to write back in? Your prayer list, your list of people you want to see come to the Lord, whoever, I don't know, however you do that in your personal life, but who have you written off that you need to write back in, right? That's the two things I want you to see next week. Remember, we're going to hit the ground running. If you want to go ahead and be ahead and be a star student this week, all you got to do is read James 1, 2 through 4, because that's where we're going to camp out next week. And we're going to talk about the issue of what happens when things don't work out the way we thought they should. All right? Pray with me as we go into our closing time this morning. Pastor Joe is going to make his way up. Miss Reba is going to make her way up. Pray with me this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all that you were doing in our hearts and lives each and every week. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, just the life and just the fulfilling life that you bring us. Lord, I'm reminded of Jesus' words in John's gospel where he says, Lord, if we believe in him, that he gives us not just life, but everlasting, overflowing, overabundant life. Lord, joy complete. And Lord, hope for a home in heaven one day. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would stir up something in us and work through us, Lord, and move in us so that we can not only know you, but live that out one day. Lord, so that we can be examples for our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors and our friends and, Lord, those in our circle of influence, Lord, so that we can share with them exactly what you've done in our lives and how you've changed us, just like, Lord, we've experienced that change that James has. Lord, I pray for that person who's here today, Lord, who has never come into a relationship with you. Lord, they're still on the fence, or they're still in James's category of his previous life, where they're not sure about Jesus, where he's kind of this weirdo or this good guy or this guy who does a lot of cool things, but they've never believed in him. Lord, I pray that you would work in their heart and in their life today. Lord, help them become a Jesus follower like James did. Lord, I pray that as we go forward in this study, Lord, I pray that you would use it to revolutionize our lives, our life, our thoughts, our actions. Lord, so that we might know you more fully and more freely. Lord, so that we can be wise and practice wisdom every day.